Good morning. We are finally back from our 2-week break. I hope everyone had here in the United States had a good Thanksgiving. We had turkey, mashed potatoes, biscuits. We had deviled eggs and celery with ranch dip and chili cheese dip with chips and something called salami rolls, which basically you get some really good quality salami and you fold it like a taco and put potato salad inside, and they're really yummy. Everybody in the family wants to take some home. All right, we're continuing our study of Joel Goldsmith's Spiritual Power of Truth. And we're on Chapter 10, A Harmonious Universe. Now, Joel said once upon a time, consciousness is the most important word in the infinite way. And this chapter is all about consciousness, and this book is all about a transformation of consciousness. Joel says, when the Messiah came as Jesus, he said, I have overcome the world. This must have been terribly mystifying to the Hebrews, because they were still under Rome, and they were still under the hierarchy of the temple. Yes, and they were hoping for a Messiah which would conquer Rome and take them out of the theological beliefs. But that didn't happen. Because when the Messiah comes, whether in the form of a man, a woman, or within your own being, its sole function is a transformation of consciousness. So it is, he says, that we are very apt to think of God, or the Christ, as temporal power, and then try to send it out to do something for us, like changing the weather, or stopping fires, or bringing peace on earth. The longer we look in that direction, the longer we shall fail. So, Christ is not so that you can increase your supply. Christ has not come so that you can find that perfect companion. Christ has not come so that you can take up your bed and walk. Christ has come so that you might have a transformation of your consciousness. And so Joel says, the function of the activity of Christ is to transform consciousness. The outer world is only a product, the added things, of the change of consciousness. So you might say, seek ye first this change of consciousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we have attained a state of consciousness in which we manifest love to each other, joy, gratitude, cooperation, it is only because we have had a change of consciousness to that degree. There could be no peace in the outer experience except in proportion to whatever change has taken place in our own consciousness. if we are looking out in the sense of gratitude, that we have a contribution to make in spiritual sharing, we have had a transformation of consciousness. Yes, because we're not out to get. We're out to give. Do you not see that this could not exist without a change of consciousness? Often, he says, you may find in families or groups where there is some temporary improvement in that direction, less fighting, less arguing, less greed, less lust, that the moment some strong temptation comes up, wham, we are right back in the old state of consciousness. We had merely decided not to fight, or we had seen that it was good to be more generous or more sharing, but we actually had not attained the consciousness of it, or there would not be a reversion. It is not yet our demonstration because we have not yet attained the consciousness of love, of oneness. So it is that we accept intellectually that Christ is the Messiah, not a temporal power. But you would be surprised how, when a great temptation comes up, we all try to grasp some God power to do something for us and try to use it. Your real work is not establishing peace on earth, not even establishing peace in your house, in your home. The work is really establishing a new state of consciousness within yourself, and then watching that new state of consciousness appear as a harmonious universe. Now we go off the track because we want to demonstrate a harmonious universe, and that's the wrong demonstration. We are here to demonstrate a change in our internal consciousness, our internal awareness. Then that will appear as a harmonious universe. What we have to do at this stage of our unfoldment, and really it is in two parts, is first of all, never lose sight of the basic principles with which we are working. We must go back over and over again to this impersonalizing and nothingizing. We must go back over and over again to this realization of withinness. What is it I am trying to attain? I am really trying to come down to the realization of non-power. I am really trying to achieve the realization that since there is no power in evil, since there is no power but the One, I am really not looking for any other power. I am not trying to attain or use another power, or bring another power to bear. I am living in the realization of One power. Let us say we will visualize a flower as only a bud. Then stop to think that in each minute and in each hour, this bud is unfolding, eventually to disclose itself as a full-blown rose. Is there a power that could stop a rosebud from unfolding into a rose? You may say, oh, but influences have prevented these things from coming to fruition. Of course they have. However, not because nature provided for that, but because human nature introduce this belief in two powers. Now we have a human experience, even in our gardens, a belief of two powers operating. If you need proof of this, all you have to do is begin to live in your garden from the consciousness of one power. With every bit of work that you do in the garden, consciously remember that regardless of the human belief in two powers, the human belief in the power of destruction, whether it is a bug destruction or any other destruction, this represents only a universal belief, not law. Your garden is encompassed by spirit, by the grace of spirit. So remove your garden from under the law and bring it under grace. You have to do it consciously, because everything that takes place in your experience has to be done consciously. It is your consciousness that becomes that grace. Therefore, where is your garden? It is in consciousness, my consciousness. What is my consciousness? My consciousness is the one spiritual consciousness that knows but one power. Therefore, my garden is embodied in my consciousness of one power, of one presence, of one substance. And now my consciousness is grace onto my garden. In your household, it is the same way. Is a household a piece of matter? Is a household made up of human beings? It is, of course, but most often in the consciousness of two powers, in the consciousness of mortality. However, since this is my home, it is embodied in my consciousness. Now, here's the step I want to carry you to today. So are you listening? Please listen. That word my has a capital M. Every time you say my consciousness, please have a capital M on it. You have outgrown the metaphysical stage of two consciousnesses, a human one and a divine one. You have made a transition in which you no longer look up to the eye of me, but look out from the eye of me. You no longer look up to Jesus saying, "My kingdom is not of this world." You are now saying, "My kingdom is not of this world." Your own kingdom is not of this world, because you are now capital M and capital I. Now, you cannot speak to your friends and neighbors and relatives in that language. Be careful that you do not. However, you certainly can look out at your garden and say, "You are embraced in my consciousness, and my consciousness is Christ's consciousness, because it has only one power, one substance, one reality." You can also look at your home. You can look at the members of your family and you can say, you are embraced in my consciousness. And my has a capital M, because my individual consciousness is not made up of two powers. If you are to be the source of peace, which means health, harmony, wholeness, completeness, supply onto your garden and your household and your family and your patients and your students, your consciousness is Christ consciousness. Now, this is something that you have to live consciously, he says. You have to come to the place where you can say, you are in my consciousness, and get a feeling of my consciousness, so that consciously you take this step and you live out from my consciousness, and you live out as my consciousness. Is your consciousness made up of two powers, he asks? To some extent, yes, but not to the degree of your neighbor, your patient, or your student. Some measure of my consciousness must have become your consciousness. Some measure of Christ consciousness must have become your consciousness in these years of your study and practice. You must now be able to say, my consciousness is divine. What makes it divine? There's only one fact. In some degree, you have overcome the belief in two powers, two substances, two laws, and you have come to see my grace is thy sufficiency. No, if you were a practitioner and a patient came to you for help, would you believe that your consciousness was their sufficiency? If you do not, you have no right to be a practitioner. If you think you are going to give him the name and address of a man who lived 2,000 years ago, you should not be a practitioner. In some measure, the realization must be brought home to you. My consciousness is grace unto your experience. My consciousness is a law of health unto your experience. My consciousness is a law of supply unto you. Because my consciousness is spelled with a capital M. I have left behind me the personal life of Joel, Bill, Mary, Susan. And there is only one consciousness left, and that is the consciousness of the infinite way. There is nothing personal in it, and there are no personal motives in it. Do not look for any fame or fortune. It will not come. Therefore, since I have no personal ends to gain, I have a consciousness that is devoid, at least in great measure, of self or self-interest. That means it must be spiritual consciousness. Ah, but you are in the same situation. When you look into your garden or into your home, you have nothing to gain if you have a beautiful garden or a beautiful home. Those who will witness your garden, those who will live in your household or visit it, will be the ones to receive the greatest blessings. You will only be an onlooker, and strangely enough, you will derive no satisfaction from it. Isn't that strange? Think of that. Someone comes into your house while you are knowing my consciousness embraces this house and everyone in it. And they're blessed, and you see the blessing. But you feel no satisfaction. There is no personal satisfaction, because there's no person. There's my consciousness. He says, that was brought home during a class when quite a few students wrote and said, what a great satisfaction it must be to you to witness the work and the improvement in the students. I realized how nonsensical that really was. There was not a sign or trace of satisfaction in it, or pleasure. And there could not be, because there would have to be a person there getting credit for something good. Now, how could that be? Once you see that all of this is the working of the Spirit, nobody can stand up there and have satisfaction in seeing what the Spirit does. There would be no personal sense of satisfaction. When you see your garden in full bloom, you will not be able to take pride in it, because by then you will have realized that the reason it is such beautiful bloom is that there was a law of one power. It is because your consciousness was devoid of the belief in two powers, but even that you could not take credit for. Do you see there is a place, there is a time, there is a moment of transition, like there was for Saul of Tarsus when he became Paul, or Abram when he became Abraham? You notice that in the spiritual life, the name of a person changes with their higher consciousness. Now, I had a dream in which a Native American lady, a medicine woman, turned to me and said, I want you to know your real name. And she told me my real name. And it's not Bill, I can assure you. As you come to your spiritual life, you will discover either that you were given your spiritual name at birth, or that you have no attachment to the name you were given. And you commence to identify yourself within by another name. You may not outwardly adopt it, but we do not want to seem odd. Remember, even our practitioners and teachers are still wearing just everyday men's and women's clothing. We are not dressed up in robes, even though we may be robed within. However, we do not display it outwardly. We may be given a new name within, as I was, but we do not adopt it outwardly or openly. We recognize it within ourselves. All of this means, then, that your nature has changed. Your consciousness has changed. The change consists of the degree of impersonality that has entered your experience. This means the degree to which you can impersonalize evil and nothingize it, and the degree to which you no longer have a God of power, no longer a Messiah that is going to go out and whip Caesar or whatever. You have a Messiah of gentleness and peace. However, you are not trying to use it to change outer conditions, and that's the hardest part right there, to get a grasp on, or a grasp of. Someone comes to you and says, I'm still having problems in this area. You are not to use my consciousness to change that problem into something good. That's not what you are to do. You are to have, well, usually we wrestle with the problem appearing until we can come to a place where we impersonalize it and see that it doesn't belong to a person. It was here before that person. It'll be there after that person. It's impersonal. It's impersonal without a person. And because God didn't create it, it's nothingness. No power, no law, no substance, no reality. It's just a mental image. But what is really here? Well, when you're done wrestling and you come to a place of resting, then you can say, Father, reveal thyself, or reveal the truth. Christ, my consciousness, what is here? And if you're still, if you're silent, you will feel that inner presence. You will feel my consciousness, Christ consciousness. And then Christ consciousness will appear where the problem seemed to be. So you are not trying to use it to change outer conditions. You simply commune with it. And in communion with it, you are at peace within yourself. You are letting it perform its function in life. Remember, its function is not to destroy. Its function changes human consciousness so that no more Caesars appear on the scene, or the present Caesar decides to change their career, not by might or by power, but by my gentle spirit. So, you're not working on Caesar, you're not trying to get my consciousness to dissolve Caesar. You're seeing Caesar as a mental image. It looks ferocious. It looks scary. But it's not. It's not. It's just a wispy mental image with nothing behind it. It's the arm of flesh, no bones, nothing behind it. It's an appearance. Nothing behind it. So now, I can rest. Speak, Father, thy servant heareth. And wait for my consciousness to reveal itself. You are now thinking in terms of my peace I give unto you. I give unto this world. But you are not sending your thought back 2,000 years ago. You are now referring to my individual consciousness, which is imbued with the Christ, which no longer has two powers. See this appearance, this mental image? Yes, it's not a power. It has no substance. But my individual infinite consciousness, imbued with this presence I feel, my consciousness is the law of grace unto my garden, unto my home, unto my students, unto my clients, unto my group. My consciousness is the law of grace unto my garden. I can walk out in my garden up and down among the flowers and say how happy I am that you are embodied in my consciousness. Because my consciousness is love, and in it there is no fear, no hate, no criticism. You even take in all the bugs that are around and say, I love you too. Why? I do not know. But I do, because you are part of God's kingdom too. You are here. Therefore you are here to be loved, not hated or feared, because there are not two powers. Think about that. You go out to your garden, and there's a beetle on your green beans, and you see where that beetle has eaten a large part of the leaf, and your instinct says, go inside and get the powder that you put on there that kills the beetles. He says, no. He says, what he does is he says, you are here to be loved, not hated or feared, because there are not two powers. There's not this invisible power growing these green beans and another power attacking them. When you have your household embodied in that consciousness, you have a beautiful household. Now, no one has said this is easy. Simple, yes. There's only three principles. Impersonalization, nothingizing, and oneness. When you have this globe in your consciousness, and your consciousness has in it no hate, no fear, do you not see that you have a wonderful world? You have not done anything to Caesar. Caesar has simply dissolved. You have not done anything to disease. In the presence of my consciousness, there is no disease. In my consciousness, there is no disease. Why? In my consciousness, there are not two powers. There is not a power for good and a power for evil. All that exists in this world is of God. I know that some things and some persons appear different, but it cannot be. There can only be one God. There can only be one Creator. Therefore, in spite of the appearances, I love you. And I say love, meaning an absence of hate, of fear, of judgment, of criticism. It has nothing to do with human affection. Love is when we are able to behold each other without judgment, without criticism, without fear. Then we love our neighbor as ourself. We are loving our neighbor as ourself and allowing no thought or deed of ours to bring unhappiness or distress to another. Do you see the further step that we must now take in our work? Acknowledging my consciousness and putting capital M on my consciousness? Put a capital L on my life. Put a capital S on my spirit, so that we can silently, never outwardly or openly, say, "My Spirit is upon you." Put a capital M on my presence. My presence is with you. My presence is with you, and my presence is divine, because my presence is devoid of fear, devoid of two powers, devoid of self-interest. That is what makes it capital M. My Spirit is upon you. Just be sure that in your soul and in your spirit there are not two powers, that you are not fearing any power, and that you are not holding any personal sense. Then silently and sacredly and secretly you can say, "My peace I give unto you. My presence is with you. My presence goes before you to make the crooked places straight. My consciousness is grace unto you." Then those who bring themselves to your consciousness find themselves blessed. Whether they bring themselves into your physical presence, whether they telephone you or write you or cable you or email you, the very moment your name appears in their consciousness, they are in your consciousness. They have united with you the minute they have thought your name. From that moment, they are in your consciousness. But what consciousness is that? It is capital M, my consciousness. Do you see that? That is why, even though you may not answer the telephone and you may not receive the cable, they will still receive the fruitage, because they did not have to enter human consciousness to get a spiritual healing. They entered my consciousness. Now, you remember the Infinite Way exercise of starting with your toes and asking if you're in the toes and moving on up to your head eventually? He says, in the exercise of going from head to feet and feet back to head, we find that I am not in my body. Now, where am I? I can only exist in omnipresence. There is only one I, and that is God, and I am I. Therefore, I exist as omnipresence. So every time you think the name Joel, you will have already entered my consciousness. Even if you were in your home, even if you were in the mountains or the desert or on the sea, the moment you have thought of my name, you have entered my consciousness, because I am where you are at all times. I am closer to you than your breathing at all times, because I do not live as a person seeking to make a personal life. I live only in the realization of one life, one mind, one soul, one consciousness. I am that, and I am the I that is closer to you than breathing, nearer than hands and feet. In proportion as I have no fear of sin, of disease, of lack. The moment fear of sin, disease, or lack enters my consciousness, and that means criticism, judgment, or condemnation of it, I am no longer capital M, my. And in that degree, I'm no longer a healer. Do you see that? The moment that personal sense would enter my consciousness and I wanted personal benefit, I would no longer be I. I would no longer be capital M, my. No. Personal sense must be absent. And fear of sin, disease, death, lack, and limitation must be absent. In that degree, my consciousness is the divine consciousness, and so is yours, in whatever degree you attain of this impersonality and this lack of fear. You see, this work brings us into a whole new consciousness where we do not look up and say, do not look up at any I or God or Messiah, but we look out from my consciousness where I am, and that is it. So, do you see? He asked several times, do you see that? He's trying to lift you into a new consciousness so that my consciousness is where you appear to be. And consciously, as you know that, consciously, as you know that evil of any appearance is impersonal, has no person through whom to manifest, because God never made a person. And you know that this appearance is nothingness. There's nothing behind it, nothing to uphold it, no law, no substance, no being. It's impersonal nothingness. And so I do not have to be afraid anymore. I do not have to be afraid of the forms as which it appears. I do not have to be afraid of lack, afraid of limitation. I do not have to be afraid of sickness. I do not have to be afraid of conditions. Knowing it's impersonal, I don't have to work on the person. Knowing it's nothingness, I do not have to try to get God to work on something either. There remaineth a rest. Knowing this, knowing these two things, impersonalization and nothingizing, I can rest right here. I rest. God is my consciousness. Is consciousness, reveal thyself. And in this stillness, in this lack of person, in this lack of fear, in this lack of hate, in this lack of attraction, in this lack of substance, I can rest. My consciousness is God. be still and know I am God. And there's this inner movement. I have felt it several times during this talk. And that inner movement is my consciousness, my grace. My grace is thy sufficiency in all things. And so I will be still and rejoice in it. We had the first snowfall of the year, and I love to go out in it because you can't hear it falling. You can see it, you can feel it, but you can't hear it. It's silent. And it just falls so gentle and starts stacking up on the ground or on the railing or on the steps or on the awning or on the trees or the bushes or the sidewalk or the grass. It's wonderful. And that's how this presence is. It moves in silence, but it moves. There's a time, a moment, when this transition takes place within, and you know you're not fighting anymore. You have stopped. And now you are aware of a presence. My presence, and it moves through you. You feel it. My presence is upon me. It's wonderful. It's full of wonder. This must be where the original Christmas gifts appearing under the tree came from. Because as you become still, as you become silent, as you become an absence of self, you become aware of this inner, invisible, silent presence moving through you. And when you look out here again, the whole picture is changed. There's gifts left, not under the tree, but everywhere in amazing places. Sometimes someone calls and says, or writes and says, you know, I was thinking of you the other day and I felt your presence. Well, immediately, you know, you had nothing to do with that. They were feeling this inner presence that you felt. But it was just as much a surprise to you as it was to them. Because I am come that they might have life and life more abundantly. And I do give gifts. Not to any person. I don't give a gift to John or a gift to Joel or a gift to Mary. But it's my nature to pour. My consciousness gives, pours, loves. and coming into the presence of my consciousness, you experience the love. Well, let's just take a moment and be still. Blessings from my consciousness. Thank you, Father. Thank you.